We're back, Radio Entrepreneurs. We are broadcasting from the Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship from UMass Dartmouth at their Fall River location. And I am here with Allard Engineering, with David Allard and John. Could you tell us a little bit about our business? About your business?
It's not a business yet.
It's not?
It is not a business. It's an idea.
And no
that's
kidding.
That's the innovation part of where we are right now. It's the entrepreneurship will come later. Right now, we're focused on making the best possible product.
Excellent. Could you tell us how you landed in this position and what were the forces that got you here?
I live in the Berkshires. I've been working on a wind turbine idea for a long time. The thrust of my business itself is practical technology, high performance, appropriate technology, if you will. I think that we're going too fast into high technology and we're missing a lot of the big picture. So I live in a roundhouse. I live in a dome of my own design. It keeps itself warm in the winter. Wonderful space. And I have an idea to build a wind turbine that's very practical. Sits on the ground, spins in any direction wind, can be maintained by two guys in a ladder.
Huh, good.
A simple structure.
So how did you end up here?
On my third time to visit a friend in the machine shop, I discovered that there was a space available. I was introduced to it, and it's been a perfect fit. Absolute perfect fit.
Was there a connection at UMass Dartmouth, or was it a connection from the
It's a growing connection at UMass Dartmouth. I'm friends with a professor there, and he supports this facility as well.
So how did you come across this technology?
Oh, the technology's in my head, and we're just trying to make it actually work.
Right, very good. So, John, how did you get involved?
So I was talking to the Associate Dean of STEM at Bristol Community College, where I just graduated, asking if she knew of any internships. She put me in contact with this facility, and I had an interview with David, hired on the spot, and then started designing a flux generator, basically.
No kidding. So you said this idea came out of your head, mm-hmm. and your challenge is to make it simple. When do you see this project coming to fruition, to the marketplace?
Marketplace is farther down the road than I expected, of course. Things always take longer than we think. The first fantasy was that I would get a lot of the work done this summer, and then we'd sort of build it next year over the course of the year. What's turned out is the real world is always in charge. And the creation of this very special generator circuit is going to be the key to the success of the whole thing. If the generator itself doesn't produce electricity, it doesn't matter how cute the wind turbine is. It'll be a lawn ornament. I don't want to make a lawn ornament.
All right. So
what we're looking at is probably working on the generator over the course of this next year, and then putting it all together, perhaps the second year.
All right, so you're still kind of in the trials of building this generator.
We have to make it right.
All right, hey, do you have any prototypes available?
That's what we're building right now.
Okay, all right.
We're building a spinning workbench, a big plywood workbench, 8 feet in diameter, that's going to spin at our rotation speed.
Interesting.
And once we get the generator built and tested and we love it, then we'll very carefully take it apart and then cast it into the final ring for the wind turbine.
Are you looking for, you say you're in the beginning stages, are you looking for capital, or are you looking
Any inventor does. Inventor is, as I've been in debt my entire life. You always try to get more out of life than is available. And so, of course, we're always looking for it. But the thrust of what I'm doing is a nonprofit.
Yep.
We'll seek grants, I'm sure. I'm open to partnerships, of course, but I want to keep it in the nonprofit realm. I want to make sure that the motivation is pure.
Good. Good. So where do you see your biggest market?
I don't know about biggest market, but the wind turbine is a little tiny device. It's only going to work in a small scale, but it will work in a small scale. It works at night. It'll work out in the middle of a field, on top of a hill, on top of a building, a water tower.
So what type of capacity would you be looking at with
residential
this?
Residential size.
So it'd be residential size. So your customer would be a residential customer?
Or a national park, for perhaps. Okay. If they had a little outpost someplace or a small village in Africa, you could airdrop this thing, put it together in an afternoon, and plug in. That's the idea, that it'll just dependably run for 10 years.
Is that your ultimate goal, is to help, you know, struggling nations?
We all should. And there's a great synergy in doing that. When you help others, it helps you as well. So,
yeah,
I can't imagine that idea will fail.
No, I understand that. I've been involved with a nonprofit myself for many years, and it's about giving and giving back and mm-hmm. being able to offer something that they don't have. And, you know, whether that's in the form of time, idea, or innovation, that's a very exciting proposition to be in.
I think the thirst for profit perverts the whole idea, especially in the beginning stages of a design. You need to be focused on quality and not how cheap can we make this or how can we trick the customer into buying something that's going to fall apart.
So what are the projects have you worked on?
Over the years?
Yeah.
I have a 50-year engineering history, so I have a lot to talk about.
Is there anything that, it might be famous, we might know that you've done?
I designed the machine that makes the Lipton tea bag paper, the float-through tea bag.
Oh, okay.
I designed the machine that makes the yellow dye and legal pads, the purple dye the New York Times uses to make their paper appear white.
Huh. Make the paper appear white.
Mm-hmm. It's called a bluing agent.
That's over my head.
You put a little tiny drop of blue into something, and it's surprising how white it makes it look. It no longer looks yellow.
So it's an optical illusion or it's real?
Well, which is it? I don't know.
Touché.
That's been my experience, though, is I've had a lot of really interesting jobs. I worked for Arlo Guthrie for a year. All of my friends and I built a 250-foot long, 16-foot tall concrete wall in the forest.
Huh.
You put dirt against one side and goats on the other, and off you went. I had an interesting life that way. I work in New York City a couple of days a week now. My project there is a complicated one. It involves police headquarters and a lawsuit.
Oh, boy.
It's a gigantic engineering firm. It's a lively life.
So you were being brought in as the consultant?
I've been a consultant all my life.
Oh, okay.
I've always worked for
so
myself.
So you're the expert in the field?
It was my project.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, John, what do you hope to get out of all this?
Well, I'm having a lot of fun currently. But
isn't that
I'm
great?
Also learning, I'm also learning quite a bit. And I hope to continue on here and kind of see this to the end. Transferring to Brown University this fall to finish my degree in computer engineering, and I'd like to stay on and see this thing get to market. So
what are you learning? Tell us a little bit about what it's like to be with the mad scientist with the great idea.
Yeah, what'd you learn today?
Well, everything from flux generators to interpersonal skills and, you know, networking and really just the whole engineering process and design.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? It's great when you've got somebody that's willing to share everything across the board, and whether that's human interaction, human skills, and then technical knowledge. For me, a lot of the discussion tails around success in a person is really about getting along with people in that relationship, because you could be the best scientist, but if you can't explain your ideas and not be so temperamental, which we all can be, but getting your idea across is really important, and that's really very, very important here at this place, because you need all the help you can get. You've got the idea. I think everybody just wants to work with you and make it a success. And you know, David, for sure, you've done this enough times and you've ridden the bike enough times, if you will, to really be able to see things through. And I'm sure they're excited to be with you. Is there anything that you could tell us that would be kind of enlightening to the audience out there that they may not know about wind turbines and why yours is so different?
Mine is simple. And that's probably the key to the whole thing. It has fabric sails, a very simple structure, one single moving part.
Tell us a little bit about the wind turbines today.
The giant ones, the giant machines, are commercial machines. They've been supported by the government, I assume. I don't even know what the financial structure is because I haven't paid attention to them at all. One of the things that concerns me about them is their longevity.
Right.
When they fail and the company is out of business, how do you fix them? How do you even get up there to fix them?
Right.
How do you, what in the world?
So they're very industrial complex-like.
They really are, which is why I'm trying to make something that's small and friendly and useful.
Good.
In my hometown of Portsmouth, they erected a very large, you know, classic wind turbine, and it broke down. And the company who produced it went out of business. So now we had a very large, very expensive lawn ornament that was really not producing any electricity. And with our design, we won't have those type of scenarios occurring.
Because it's in and out rather quickly. So how expensive is this product? Do you think is this going to be affordable?
It has to be affordable.
Okay.
Has to be affordable on a simple level. And it can't be a two-year life. It has to be at least a 10-year life. It has to work in a snowstorm, in a blizzard, in a hurricane.
Do you see the government getting involved and giving finance and trying to help people?
If it works. It has to work. It has to be tested. It has to sit out here for a year in the weather and... We have to stand around and
do its job, right?
Yeah, it has to prove itself.
Interesting. Normally, at this point, we ask, "What's the best way to get in touch with you?" But if you're interested in investing or learning more about David and John's project at Allard Engineering, you can contact them at
Allard.org.
Allard.org. And John, how can they get a hold of you?
Through me, probably.
Yeah. Yep, through you. Yeah. Okay, great.
Keep it real simple. Allard.org is the website, and it has all the contact information. Anybody's welcome to visit me here. I'd be happy to have a visitor.
Kind of show the place. Are you going to be able to show people what you're doing, or is that still top secret?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's no secret at all here. We're going to publish everything we do in little increments. We have a spinning model right now in our little lab, if you...
Good.
Look at it after this.
Good. This is exciting stuff. I am here with my two guests from Allard Engineering. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is David Soper. We are hosting all week at UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship here in Fall River, Massachusetts. Thank you, and we'll be back.